Everyone's talking about Google VO3, but I don't think enough people are showing you how to make money with VO3. So I brought on PJ, who's going viral every few weeks, some of his AI films that he's posting on X. Some of them have like 100,000 likes. It's absolutely crazy. He's figured out exactly how to do it, and he reveals his prompts, his process, how he uses ChatGPT, Final Cut Pro, should you use CapCut, how to think about VO3. This is the A to Z tutorial on how to make money with VO3. Enjoy the episode and like and comment for more of this stuff. I saw an ad that PJ used 100% AI, Google VO, to create VO3. And after that, I went down a rabbit hole of all these people using AI and VO3 for creating ads. And I realized that a lot of the tutorials were too pie in the sky. Hey, this is a really cool ad. And they didn't really tell you how to get there and how to actually make money from this whole AI and VO3 craze around making ads. So I reached out to PJ. He obliged to come and spill some sauce. PJ, by the end of this episode, what are people going to learn?
I'm going to show people how I consistently go viral on a weekly basis, how to make a commercial. We're actually going to take apart my entire pharmaceutical commercial, why it went viral, how did I make it from a practical step-by-step perspective, and then, of course, how do you monetize content like this so that you can build a business around generative AI?
And can anyone do this? Like, I know, because you're super talented, you've gotten like hundreds of millions of views in your career. What about, you know, the average person willing to put in the work?
Yes, I would say so. It's definitely, I think what really helps is to have structures and frameworks around what you're already uniquely interested in. But there's so many niches, so many like weird, you know, things that you like that a big, small communities like they also like as well. And as you know, riches are in the niches. So then it's about, okay, how do I take these kind of processes that PJ is teaching and then apply it to my weird niche that other people want to consume content like this with VO3 and generative AI.
And do you have to be highly technical to get those outcomes?
Not with LLMs anymore. I think they're really making all of this easy to get cinematic. I would say at the end of the day, it's just like, can you create content that's entertaining? And I've got a lot of tips on how you can do that.
Okay, let's see some sauce.
Okay.
I tried everything for my depression. Nothing worked.
Every day felt heavy. I felt trapped.
Then I tried Puppermin.
Our prescription helps your body secrete a special pheromone that attracts puppies.
I took the pill before bed, and when I woke up, there he was, the love of my life.
The pill does not target depression directly, but we've found that it's really difficult to be depressed when cute dogs show up at your doorstep.
I used to feel so empty, but now I feel joy and mild concern how a pee stain got on the ceiling.
My puppy listens twice as good as my ex-husband and only climbs into the lap of half as many of my friends.
He chewed up my Bible and pooped in my good chair, but I'm happy for the first time in years.
Looks like a rat, barks like a demon, but he saved my life.
I named him Earl. He follows me everywhere and farts in his sleep, just like my first husband.
Puppermine. For when your therapist says, maybe you should get a dog.
So good.
So fun. Yeah. By the end of it, it definitely felt like an SNL sketch.
Obviously. Well, I think what was so brilliant about it also is in the beginning, you're watching it and you're like, I've seen this commercial before. Mm-hmm. And then there was like an emotional roller coaster of like, wait, is this a joke? Is this AI? What's happening here?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's obviously like part of why it went viral is because, you know, and this is what we'll talk about today. It's not just like how to make things like go viral from a technical, like how to build videos, but it's actually like, why do people engage with content?
And that's why I wanted to have you on the pod, because I don't care that there's all this great technology to make really cool videos, because if no one's seeing the videos, why does it matter?
Exactly. I mean, we're about to like content already is, you know, abundant. We're in a deluge of just an insane amount of content on a daily basis. But now with generative AI, it's honestly just going to get 10x, 100x more. And so I think like it's not just about your ability to technically make something. It's about your ability to understand why people would want to watch the whole thing, share it with their friends. And that skill in some way is more important to talk about today. And then obviously like the business monetizing, because if you're not doing this for money, like sure, it's a fun hobby, but I actually think there's a lot of great businesses to build. So excited to dig into that with you more today.
So what is step one? Do you start with the script? I mean, is that where you start?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like there's got to be some idea that hooks you on like why you think this is, you know, unique. Like I just saw this really funny viral video yesterday by a guy named Meta Puppet. And it was like, studies show that, you know, microplastics can be like, you know, kind of affect even your sperm, like it affects your baby. And it's this guy drinking a water bottle. And then like 9 months later, he births this like plastic humanoid baby. And then it goes throughout. And it's like this crazy life cycle of this like half human, half plastic bottle. And there's all these like funny little things that are popping off right now. So I think you need to have some sort of kernel of an idea, a hook that's like, oh, this is unexpected. So how this was for the pharmaceutical ad was I had a friend reach out and say, hey, you know, like I want to make a pharmaceutical commercial. Like how much would it, you know, cost you? Like what can, so I was like, okay, I'll do an experiment with it and see what VO3 can do it. And then I was just like bored halfway through making it. And I was like, this is just, okay, I'll do this. But then like, it's a race to the bottom. There's nothing unique about this. Like, I think all production companies are going to be commoditized at some level if they're just making like what I would call cinematic blasé garbage, you know, just like it looks good, but there's no real like soul to it. And so I was like, you know, what if I just like went left field halfway through? And so the first kind of departure was I thought, what if it's like a placebo pill that they sent you and then they just actually ship you like a dog 3 days later? And then I was like, okay. So I start running in that direction. And then I sent it to another friend and he was like, no, it secretes pheromones. Like this is like real scientific breakthrough that like it attracts puppies. Where do the puppies come from? We have no idea. So then I was like, okay, so it started to roll. And so maybe we can share a little bit of like the ideation process through this. Might as well just roll into like how we made it. So I'm gonna screen share. All right. So when I ideate with ChatGPT, I like to just give it like very generalized instructions to begin with. And then, just like let it give me something super cliche and then I'm going to tear it apart. So like the prompt starts with like, give me 4 scripts for a standard pharmaceutical commercial for the presentation for a fake medication that solves depression by taking a pill that's a play on words that includes pup in the name. And it sounds like a real medication. So the commercial follows the same format or structure of a 20 or so second prescription commercial. Starts off like it's people battling depression for the first 10 seconds, few different speakers, nothing worked, and then they tried the pup name. It's a pill you take, and in 3 to 5 business days, a puppy gets delivered to your house. It completely solved their depression. Maybe the ending bit is try like a jet ski thing. I actually didn't end up using this. Commercial's kind of an SNL style satirical take on the standard drug commercial. And I like it, give me 4 prompt versions, and then I kind of take the best lines and use that as like a starting point. So of course it like, you know, starts with like
a question on, so just question. Yeah. Scroll up. So here you have a pretty good idea of what you want because you've been around this for a long period of time. Right. If you don't have the kernel, which, you know, you have here, is it reasonable to ask ChatGPT for, hey, I'm trying to create a pharmaceutical ad. I don't know, you know, how to create something that's viral. I'm inspired by SNL. Give me some ideas. Like, how would you recommend people do it?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, so like I came up with the viral twist, but you're totally right. You could probably have ChatGPT come up with in fact, I would say it would pitch you some crazy ideas. So like maybe that's kind of the viral formula for beginners, if you will, is basically like, okay, I know I can explore this type of commercial, but I want to have some sort of twist. Can you give me 5 different twists on a pharmaceutical commercial that could be really funny? If it's, you know, and like, let's just say it's SNL style. So then it would give you like 5 twists. And then if doesn't work, I'd be like, okay, I mean, heck, we can do it now. I want to do a pharma commercial, but have some sort of satirical SNL style twist on it that makes it funny and could be viral. Give me 10 ideas.
Yeah, because I'm curious how your brain is going to edit these.
Hey.
Are you kidding?
It's got to be from our conversation history.
That's actually hilarious.
It's just in such an embedded in the cultural ethos.
Okay, for the audio listeners, it said Pupperman. Yeah.
Yeah, like it instantly says Pupperman. So then it's got, no more calls for people whose parents call them too much. The drug numbs the emotional guilt response.
That's pretty good.
That's actually pretty insane. InvisaRx for people who want a ghost without the guilt, tired of making plans and rejected them. Okay, interesting. For when you can't
made
stop.
In Ireland. That should be made in Ireland. You know, like an Irish goodbye.
Oh, yeah. That'd be really funny. Easy text. Help you stop texting your ex for dads yelling at sports. I'll tell you what was a similar pharmaceutical take I saw. It was by the Tim and Eric show, and Jeff Goldblum was the host of it. And it was basically like, it was like, you want to fast forward time. This pill will knock you out until, like, so open your calendar app and then select what day you want to fast forward to. And it's like, great, just take the pill and then it will fast forward to that. And then he like wakes up in a catatonic state like 4 weeks later and he's like, done, it's presto. And it has all these terrible side effects of like, you know, cardiac arrest, like not waking up, all this fun. But it's kind of then in the execution to make it really good. But anyway, I think there's a lot of like great material here. And then I would just kind of prompt and go until you find like the kernel of the idea that you really like.
Cool. Yeah. So I think for one takeaway for people is just like people like SNL and Tim and Eric, like they've perfected the art of satire in a lot of ways. So if you let ChatGPT know, they're going to use that as the model and that's going to be helpful.
Yeah. And I would one hack I've been experimenting with is don't just use ChatGPT. Also try Claude and try Grok. Grok's like unhinged mode and fun mode. And like, I usually try 2 to 3 different models of like my initial idea. And then depending on which one, I'll just use that. I would say overall humor wise, ChatGPT's pretty good, but Grok sometimes gives me like insane stuff that ChatGPT would so censor.
Cool. All right, let's continue.
All right. So basically it starts to give me like boring scripts, you know, basically like, okay, when I first tried Pupreza, a once a daily pill that triggers, I hated this one. What was the next one? I thought it gave me Pupuptrin. Anyway, it basically is like, you know, I found it treats all one pill and wait, I think I'm in love again, blah, blah, blah. I didn't like a lot of these, but some of these were, oh no, here it is. Sorry. I tried everything for my depression, medication, journaling, meds, nothing stuck. I just felt numb. But then I tried Pupreza, you know, once a day, it delivers a puppy within 3 to 5 days, instant serotonin. It's like not that funny. So then I think I start saying like, okay, give me like comedic examples. Let's see where this is. Okay. So then it started to give me like funny one-off ones. And these are like the lines that actually became the body of the commercial, where it was like, Pupperman transformed me and my Babe Ruth card collection. You know, the irony is like, it like tore up all his cards. He licks my toes almost as much as my late husband used to. I found a beagle and lost custody of my recliner. He only pees on the things he loves. And so these are all like from here. You know, I was like, all right, give me more, you know, give me more on that line. And so then I was like, these are amazing. Keep going. So I just basically have it just give me a bunch of like zingers, one-liners, you know, and some of them are really funny. Like this one was, he listens twice as good as my ex-husband and only humps half as many of my friends. So that's actually, I used that line in there, but I couldn't get VO3 to say humps my friends. So I had to say he climbs into the lap of half as many of my friends. And, you know, and then I keep it going. And basically I'm constantly refeeding my favorite lines in it. so that it kind of like it learns and it updates. So like, you know, I named him Earl. He farts in his sleep and follows me around everywhere, just like my first husband, Earl. I got hair loss, high cholesterol, but it's the first time I've been happy in many years. Yep. So anyway, like this is honestly like the perfect ChatGPT thing, because it's good. Like 95% of the jokes aren't that funny, but 5% actually are. And if you just prompt it enough to say like, okay, give me 10 more. Okay, give me 10 more. Here's what I'm liking. Go in this direction. Make it unhinged. Make it like non sequiturs. It's just going to keep, like I would say like probably 70% of the lines in this are ChatGPT, but it's not like a one-shot prompt, you know, of like, okay, give me this, and it gives it out. You got to kind of work with it back and forth, right?
I think one thing you can do, if you don't have the taste, you can kind of outsource taste, and you could say, you know, let's say you like Seth Rogen. You'd say, like, create jokes that I think Seth Rogen would like.
That's it. Exactly. You know? Yep. Yep. Create jokes in the style of Seth Rogen, or like imagine you're Bill Burr doing a stand-up comedy routine, or, you know, like Bill Hader
or McDonald. Or
that's
some,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, definitely all of those will be really helpful in creating that. I actually tried another one this last week yesterday that went viral, where I basically just took jokes from the Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy from SNL. And then I just reconstituted those jokes into like, you know, VO3 settings. So that also works, but you'd have to credit, you know, this isn't my original jokes. Anyway, so once we've got our script kind of locked in of like all our core lines, what we then want to do is create prompts out of each dialogue line on that. So we're then gonna, you know, in this case, like the first one is, you know, we know it's I tried everything for my depression, nothing worked, right? That's the first shot on here. So I'm gonna take this into ChatGPT and I'm gonna say basically like, you know, hey, give me, using this prompt structure, can you extrapolate, you know, a prompt, you know, using this prompt structure. And it kind of knows the essence of, because you've been talking with it this whole time. So then you paste like Sarah says blank, and it's like make Sarah, you know, a middle-aged woman in her 50s. And once you do this once, you can just feed it like Sarah says this, Dave says this, and it'll just kind of like create people for you. It's super easy. And all you need is like the prompt structure for this. You can probably screenshot it right now on my screen. I am teaching a full course on this. It's going to be like, you know, I don't know, $100-$200. It's going to be super cheap. And where I go through this like whole process, it releases in a few weeks. But basically it's like a prompt structure like this. It's very simple though. You just basically, you know, like VO3, you don't need this level of prompt structure. You basically just need to describe what's happening. And it's, you know, you can do like the pose, the shot type, the camera type, like what's happening in the background. But at the end of the day, like it actually does not need complicated prompts. It's very simple. Basically, you just need an overview of what's happening and then the dialogue that guy says. So then it gives us, you know, kind of shot by shot, prompt by prompt, each one in the prompt list. So that's this. We take it from ChatGPT and then we kind of paste it and we just make sure that we're in VO3, which is like the, you know, highest quality model. We only do one output per prompt and then, you know, we hit enter. I'm not going to hit enter because it's about $2 to $3 per shot.
And what's the deal with VO3 and audio? Sometimes like it puts out audio and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the audio is whack. Like what's your whole...
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a slot machine. No matter how great you prompt, and I, you know, all like the pro tips, it's still sometimes randomly like they won't talk at all. I'm sure they're fixing that. I've been talking with the Google team. They're like obviously actively aware of that problem where there's no audio, and then they're also aware of the subtitle issue. I have found that if you don't include quotes. So actually I'd learn this later, but don't include quotes and then it will be less likely to generate like weird gibberish subtitles underneath. So that's pretty much it. And then basically I will go back between ChatGPT, my original script, and then I will just go shot for shot, like with each one on here, and then just run it one at a time. The reason I like to run it one at a time is because it's so expensive. So I'll kind of get feedback like, you know, is this working? I don't think you can hear the audio, but in this case, like she's actually not talking. So I just had to run that again. And this one, this was a little weird because he, like the UPS guy is delivering a puppy through a house into, you know, so it's like, it's, you know, then I have to like take this prompt and like copy and paste it in a ChatGPT and say like, okay, he's actually entering through the door. Can you redo this prompt so that he's entering in a house? And then, you know, you just kind of go back and forth. So use ChatGPT always, or your favorite LLM of choice, to do the heavy lifting. And then you copy and paste the prompts into here. This is what I found. Also, it's worth noting that like this is all text to video. There is technically like images to video that they have, or ingredients, but these do not work that well yet. Mm-hmm. They're just not that good. So what that also means though is that there's no character consistency. So that's something that will be solved. Like eventually, you know, they're gonna have like you can just upload a bunch of photos and then you can make them talk and you can make them walk. But that is not, unfortunately, where it's at now. So just kind of optimize for like, you're never going to see the same character twice on the screen. If you want to have a similar looking character, you can do that. You basically just have to describe them in detail the same way every time and just try and, you know, hope they look similar, which it mostly does. Like, you know, an old guy with short gray hair, you know, like a UPS guy, you know, white guy in his 30s with a mustache and a beard and like strong chin with muscular arms, like get super detailed. And of course, as always, like have ChatGPT like do those details for you.
Okay. So you pump this all out. First of all, how much do you think this cost you?
It was about $500. And that I knew was like the viral kind of formula at the same time. It was basically like, so like I did used to work on pharmaceutical commercials as a commercial director. The shoots would range anywhere from like 100K to a million. So I just split the difference and I was like, okay, I used to make, you know, $500,000 pharmaceutical commercials. I now make, you know, this took me like $500 worth of credits. So that's kind of, you know, what I knew would be the viral hook. And then, you know, just went through iterative with shot after shot. I'm going to show you the timeline here now. So this ended up being, I want to say like one, so it was like 10 or 12 shots. Let me turn this down a bit. You won't be able to hear this, but basically, you know, it just kind of goes shot by shot. And I really wanted to make sure it kind of felt normal. So another thing you can do is like prompt camera movements in here. I think that's like the shots that like feel the most like non-AI are probably the ones with like the coolest camera movement. So for instance, like this one was like amazing. And I prompted this like camera push in or dolly in, and then it's like zooming in, but I'm also prompting, or ChatGPT is prompting her emotion. So in this, it's like describing it as like she coyly like quips her response, aware that she's making a joke about her husband's infidelity. And like it comes through with that. It's pretty crazy. You know, this one's more of a static shot of like old man in chair. You know, and this one I prompted it to like, at the end of the clip, she glances up and there's a pee stain on her kitchen ceiling. So you really can get really granular, like with the details on this. Not all of them are that complicated.
And so you're in Final Cut Pro now. Like, why did you decide to put this in Final Cut Pro? And, you know, is this the only option? Are there other products that people should use?
No. Honestly, CapCut is probably just as good for this kind of thing. I'm just kind of used to Final Cut Pro. And yeah, you know, like people use DaVinci is another one that's like, if you want to go beyond CapCut, but you still don't want to pay anything, there's something called DaVinci Resolve. And that's also a free, like very, very top tier one. And as you can see here, I generated, I don't know, maybe like 30 clips or so to get like 10 good ones. So it's like a 3-to-1 ratio maybe of like best generations. Actually, I didn't download all the ones that were bad. It was like a 5-to-1 ratio. And you can see like, you know, this is another version here of like the Miami housewife. And this is like multiple variations of the guy in the chair, right?
Totally. Okay. So you stitch it together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, where are you getting the audio from? Are you using like 11 labs, or how did the audio end up coming in?
Well, no, that's what's pretty incredible about VO3 is that it generates the audio for you.
Okay, great. So you just, it ended up generating the video and audio.
That's right. You know, and so you basically just say your cinematic shot, and then you say, Grandma Nora says, I named him Merle, follows me everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then it spits out. Now, of course, the problem is like, one, it sounds really thin. Like they don't have like a deep EQ spectrum on the voices, that's okay. There's also obviously no voice consistency. You know, so like I was saying before, like if you don't quite like grandma's performance, like you just have to hit enter again, maybe make some tweaks and she's going to show up in a different thing. But obviously like this grandma, she looks pretty similar to this grandma. And so you can get, you know, clearly you can get some pretty good consistency. Like, you know, her like brooch or whatever this is a little different. And like the puppy's a little different, but anyway, you kind of get the gist, right?
Yeah, totally. And so then you finished it up and you posted it on X, like that was it.
Yeah. This took me probably like half a day to a day, probably like 6 to 12 hours or so to do all this. But I'm not thinking like when I'm getting coffee and like going for a walk with my dog and stuff to kind of like break up the monotony. I'm always thinking of like, so at least on X, you don't have to hook them to watch a video. Like it's very difficult. You actually have to hook them with just a headline. Like your headline has like 0.2 seconds to get them to watch what your content is. And then your content has like that is like 2 to 3 seconds to get them to stay for the whole video. So like the first part of the funnel is like, what's something that's provocative with this headline that gets them to like engage with a few seconds of my content. So for me, it's always like, and so, but like, so Mr. Beast, you know, like he always talks about like the title of the video is more important than the thumbnail, and the thumbnail is more important than the actual content of the video. Because if he can't get you to like hook you on the title, he's not going to get you to really engage with the thumbnail. And if he doesn't hook you on the thumbnail, he's not going to get you to watch the full video. So I would almost say it's kind of just as important as the video you're creating is this, do you have a hook for this? So for instance, like for this, you know, it was,
I used to shoot 500K pharmaceutical commercials. I made this for $500 in VO3 credits in less than a day. What's the argument for spending 500K now? Steal my prompt below.
That's right.
Can I break down why that's so good?
Yeah, please do. I'd like to hear your perspective because obviously you're the clickbait master as well on X.
So the hook is I used to shoot 500K pharmaceutical commercials. That's kind of like a low key flex. Because it's like, all right, this guy is like legit. And then right. It's like, whoa, I was able to do this for $500 with VO3, which is like a bit of trend jacking, like they're, you know, VO3 trend. Plus like it only costs $500. Also the 500K to $500, like that symmetry looks really good. Questions work really well on X because it generates replies. Mm-hmm. And then that just feeds the algo. And then steal my prompt is just like, here's, you know, check out this value. And it makes people want to click in. And when people click in, that also tells the algorithm that this is good content. And then you have like the visual of, you know, and then you crush it on the video. So obviously like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Let's actually look real quick on some of my other viral posts. Because I feel like it'll show a trend of like how I'm kind of getting things to go viral on X. It's a little different on other platforms, but you know, AI video quality just 10x'd overnight. I'm speechless. Kling 2.0 just dropped and I've already burned through $1,200 in credits testing its limits. I've never seen motion this fluid or this accurate. Here's how I made this video step by step. And of course I have like the prompt thread after there. This one was crazy. This was the Lord of the Rings Studio Ghibli thing. What if Studio Ghibli directed Lord of the Rings? I spent 250 in Kling credits and 9 hours editing the Fellowship trailer, and I'll show you exactly how I did it. And then this one, I took this one down. This one got 22 million views, but it was a similar, like, you know, basically like every, you know, cinema just changed today. Kling 2.0 allows us to like, here's my step-by-step process. So like, I think that's kind of the, or at least what I found is like, you need some sort of provocative statement. Here's what I hate. I don't think anyone should use like, this is crazy. Hollywood is cooked. Oh my God. What the fuck? You know, like, yes, it works. That's the problem of why everyone does it. And I would say you actually should do that, but not with those specific words. You need to find like your own kind of words. So for instance, I just made another one and it was like, what the fuck did I just make? Like this, or this is my most unhinged video I've made, you know? And then it's like, I gave it one of the dialogues. AI comedies are about to 10x the views of network TV. Anyway, if people just scroll kind of on my different posts, I kind of have a good, this was actually another one. This wasn't my video, but I said, I've been a professional filmmaker for 15 years and it's getting very difficult to tell if this is fake. In what world is not all AI generated media in 2 years?
Similar. I mean, you have a similar kind of format, and I think it's look at how other people like you are doing the format and then just apply the video thing. I mean, it's insane. Like, you're literally generating millions and millions and millions of views on content that you're creating. Like, how powerful is that? PJ, I want to end with, okay, so you've outlined this, you know, format, which is basically start with ChatGPT to create your script, throw that into Google Docs, from Google Docs, go back to ChatGPT to get the prompts for VO3, and then put, you know, take the VO3, put it into, you know, Final Cut Pro or CapCut, and then do this, you know, sort of clickbaity slash hook. We'll call it a hook. Create a hook and post it on X, and then you can bring it to other platforms like YouTube and stuff. But you've revealed all that. What does this mean for someone listening to this? Meaning, okay, I want to create a business around this. I see the opportunity. Like, where do people go from here?
Yeah, that's a great question and something I think a lot about. One is because I'm still figuring this out too. So I'm going to give you like 10 confident answers of the easiest ways, 10, you know, 10 ways you can start making money tomorrow using VO3. Like, I'm probably going to make that listicle or whatever. So like, yeah, I mean, here's my list of like 10 ways you can monetize VO3 and content. So for number one is obviously just use VO3 to build a brand for yourself. This first one is more of like, just use this to get into the ecosystem of creating content that in a general sense, like, is content you're proud of and can lead to downstream work. So then let's talk about sub niches under that. So you can attract direct, you know, kind of clients that want similar commercials. So for instance, like, I probably could make a less viral version of this video and it's just an actual like boring client pharmaceutical commercial. And then I could just like direct to consumer, like hit up all the different, whether it's agencies or media buyers or like pharmaceutical companies directly. This is a bad example because I don't think people should be making per se AI pharmaceutical commercials. Although I'll tell you this, like, they're all scripted bullshit regardless. Like, the people who are like, well, it's not authentic testimonials. Like, it never was authentic testimonials. Like, those people are making like $2,500 per day to just say whatever the producers tell them. So I do not have any moral qualms about this. So anyway, you could do that. You basically could just create a brand, whether it's pharmaceutical commercials or whether it's like, I think food products are really smart. You could just go to different like beer companies and create like crazy cinematics for that. Like, there's so many people on X that are like posting their exact prompts for like crazy food orbit shots. You could make that, and then you could just pitch it to like different restaurants, different kind of like, you know, feastables, like CPG brands. Like, they all want crazy content involving kind of their product. You could do it with underwear brands. And so I would say, like, you know, there's a lot of ways, a lot of brands that would love unhinged special effects kind of shots that you can do with AI that all these agencies are like, they could never do for those budgets. And then you can charge probably anywhere from like $5,000 on the low end. I don't recommend people do content for less than $5,000, because even though this stuff is easy, it's still your skill as a filmmaker is worth the time. So like, even I can make a bombastic statement like, this cost me $500 in credits, but like, it's the whole Picasso metaphor of like, you know, he like draws on a napkin in 30 seconds. They're like, why are you going to charge me like $40,000 for it? It took you 30 seconds. He's like, no, it took me like 30 years to understand how to do this. And, you know, take it or leave it. And I kind of do think you have to have a little bit of that arrogance in an age of like compression going to near zero with like, you know, the commodification of like filmmakers and production companies. So that's why I do harp overall on like, you've got some weirdness about you. Lean into your own interests and weirdness and niche, and then figure out how to like work with brands who are at the end of the day, the ones who have money to spend, to kind of productize your unique point of view into commercials that you find entertaining, you know, brand work that you find entertaining. Because if you do, I think other people will as well. It's just, and then it's like all about finding those niches. So point number three, build a portfolio and let agencies work with you. So this can either be super general, where it's like mine, where it's like a bunch of different types of, you know, commercials. But I'd say if you're more starting out as a filmmaker, like I said, it's like really keep it niche to what interests you. Like say you really like knife commercials. It's like, great, go target, you know, like knife companies and do the like try. And I'd also say this, like if people are like not sure of how to tell great commercials, you know, Steve Jobs said it best, good artist copy, great artist steal. Like shot for shot, at least in your own internal, like when you're making a first couple of commercials to like build out your portfolio, I don't care. This is very controversial, but I would say like just rip these shots shot for shot. Like upload a screenshot to ChatGPT of like the first frame of the commercial and say, break this down into a prompt and then type that prompt in a VO3 and then like, boom, you get your first shot. But don't do it for another knife commercial, then do it for like a boot commercial or something like that. Something adjacent to where it's not like a direct ripoff. It's just kind of like the spirit of this. So it gets you the pacing and the flow. And then, you know, like I really think when you work with templates of award-winning commercials and you tweak them and you adjust them and you make them unique on your own, that's how you can like instantly level up your skills as like a filmmaker editor. Is when you're kind of copying the greats. And then over time you find your voice. Like I don't anymore have to direct do copies, but I totally, when I started my career, like I was like, okay, I'm going to take this award-winning commercial and I'm just going to reapply it to this new product. I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm just taking, you know, I'm using the coloring and the lines kind of mm-hmm. thing. Point number four, create a narrative series and do brand integrations in universe. Okay. So this is one of my favorite creators. I'm going to pull him up on screen real quick. His name is Neuralviz. One second.
I thought you were going to say his name is PJ.
His one of my favorite creators. Yeah. His name is PJ. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay. So Neuralviz is a friend of mine. He, 6 months ago, he had like no views on his content. Like, and within then he's grown in just a few months to like 800K subscribers. Some of his videos have like, you know, 18 million views, and he's got the craziest stuff. So it's like a weird alien, which, and he'll do like parodies on our shows. So for instance, this is like House Hunters, but in this weird alien universe.
Pretty. It's one bedroom, 9 bathrooms, 20,000 square feet. It's walkable and runnable to Deedle. It's got 2 infection rooms and a heated freezer on site. They don't list the price because none of us can afford it. Let's check it out. So immediately when you walk in, they'd gone with fancy tire store. This is incredibly...
It's just like the weirdest shit ever. I absolutely love it. And then they do like street interviews as well.
What's your go-to move in the bedroom?
Sneezing.
Huh? Okay, that's a first.
I get on my knees to sneeze, if you know what I mean.
Very, 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 very weird. And so he's built out this entire, he's called it the Monoverse, because it's like this whole, like 1,000 years from now, everyone's wondering, like, were humans real? And it's kind of this whole, like, you know, they're doing investigations in it. Like, if you just go through the channel, it's fascinating. But I think, like, how he's going to be able to make money. So he makes money right now on merch sales. He's got a Patreon, but actually like if you really wanted to monetize the crap out of this, he could just do product integrations where these aliens find, you know, artifacts from our time. And it's like, just, you know, like Tabasco sauce, like work with Tabasco, say, look, hey, I get, you know, whatever, like 18 million views on my video. What's it worth to you to have the aliens like, you know, find a Tabasco sauce and worship this or some sort of like brand integration around that. Obviously I wouldn't tell audience members like it's easy or quick to kind of build an entire universe like this, but it absolutely, like if you really don't want to do commercials directly, you want to tell narrative stories, you can absolutely integrate those product placements into your stories and then, you know, just do it on your terms, make it still funny, make it still brand friendly, and then you can monetize that.
Another reason why this works is he's taking a popular social format, i.e., man on the street videos or the Zillow videos, or he kind of has like a mock Joe Rogan set. And then he's doing it with a twist, i.e. alien. So that's another way to do it, is like find what, when, you know, always be on the lookout for a social format that's really starting to take off and then think, how can I do a twist to this? And then, yeah, I agree. Like the aliens wearing a Rolex, sell it to Rolex or whoever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So fifth way to monetize, obviously sell courses. I don't like recommending this because it's like, how do you monetize being a marketer? Well, you sell courses as a marketer to other marketers. Like, okay. So like it's just an MLM. Like what are we doing here? So anyway, yes, obviously you can sell courses.
Info on products is really what it is.
So, that's what it is.
You know, it could be a course or it could be like a PDF or a digital product that you're bundling up and then you're selling.
That's right. That's right. And number six, do consulting with larger companies. So there is a few friends that I have in the space that these guys make like six figures, meeting with Fortune 500 companies and other companies just saying like, okay, we figured out how to not just be like, create great content with generative AI, but we've also figured out how do we keep it within your legal compliance constraints. So like they know exactly the models that are kind of give you indemnification for, you know, like your, you know, company security procedures. Also, you know, just in general, like how do we work with your company to integrate generative AI? Lots of lucrative things. I think it's a whole skill, separate skill set to be like a successful consultant, but it's definitely a way that you can learn the skills and then just start hitting up these companies to say, hey, let me do a $1,500 training and et cetera, et cetera. And if you're interested in like pricing on that, it's pricing. The pricing tip is like the scale of the company, you charge more. That's it. It's the same content. If you're doing it for a small company, you charge a little bit. If you're doing it for a big company, you charge more. Okay. Number seven, build a sketch comedy channel. So this is not something that's easy to monetize, but I do think that that's the opportunity that, you know, you have right now is like doing a Key and Peele style, sketch comedy show. The only problem is like, it's a bit harder to do brand integrations, but TikTok actually shows that this is possible if you can get a big enough, audience. So I don't know if you've seen like Bang energy drinks. I see these all the time and it's annoying as heck, but like basically at all points in the comedy bits, they have like a product integration and you know, it works. Eight, do narrative films. So obviously like I have a 25-minute TV show that's coming out on the story of Jonah. You know, you can do a narrative film for like long form content. I'm actually not that bullish on long form content with generative AI because I think the space iterates too fast and like the first bit of your film can look good and then the last bit of your film can look bad. So I typically don't recommend trying to do the old Hollywood model with generative AI, especially if it's like 90 minutes of content. Like don't chase that. I think creating like episodic weekly content is by far what's like the new economy, the new creator economy. Like people's consumption habits these days is like 80 to 90% like just social episodic UGC content. It's not, you know, sure we still watch shows, but like there's only, I don't know. It's just like you can compete in a huge market, which is like really easy to make weekly content. You don't need big budgets, or you can like try and, you know, do the old Hollywood route of raising, even with generative AI, it's still like hundreds of thousands of dollars to create like a feature film or something like that. Like it's not easy. Trust me, we've explored it a lot. I'm not convinced that like long form narrative content is the best way to apply generative AI, but weekly content's far better. Also pitching brands on narrative content would be number nine, which is basically you could just say, you know, like we'll do this, you know, kind of alien style universe, like it, but with your brand, we'll make funny content, but like all like before all the relics and artifacts are just in your brand. We'll do a whole, you know, 10 episode narrative series. It's like 2 minutes a pop and, you know, charge you 10, 20 grand on this. And then lastly, like it's more niche, but like picking a small sub niche, like for instance, like we're doing the story of Jonah, which is like a Bible content. Look, it's like open sourced, IP, if you will, like the Bible, it's got like 2 billion daily active users, you know, like engaging in the content and, you can make any story you want in there. So I actually think it's a really, really great because the supply is low of content that's like Bible films and the demand is super huge. Obviously you can find other niches like this, but this is a really great example. Like I've seen so much like millions of views for, just like faith-based content and everyone like eats it up. Even 6 months ago when the quality was bad, they're still like, oh, this is amazing. So there's also a lot of monetization there working with, studios to make like faith films and stuff like that. The sky's the limit. These are just 10 that came off the top of my head. At the end of the day, I think the biggest advice is basically just like do what fascinates you, create, copy the frameworks of what's really successful and apply them in a unique new niche that's similar to you. Follow the instructions that we kind of outline here on a technical basis. And then, of course, you know, follow my X and subscribe to my newsletter. I do constant updates, tutorials. I've got a course coming out in a few weeks and, you know, just here to help. So always open to people reaching out to me and asking questions and such.
Yeah, I would say my two favorite ones are using VO3 for your personal brand. So like an audience is worth a lot of money. And if you have a niche and you have an idea of where you want to take your personal brand, like what sort of short stories could you tell using these tools to get a lot of followers in a short amount of time that trust you? So that's one. And then two, like this opens the door to a huge number two, basically creating commercials for different niches. This opens the door to so many different like vertical niches that wouldn't have this level of cinematography and couldn't afford a $500,000 agency for a commercial. So like finding a underserved niche, I don't know if it's like nursing.
I've got one for you. It's book talk, romanticy talk slash, you know, kind of romanticy. Basically like reaching out to authors and doing book promos for them, doing scenes from their book. Huge, huge. Just because of how like viral some of these romanticy series are. They'd pay serious money for you to create, you know, more marketing materials for their books.
There you go. So, I mean, PJ, we'll include your social links where people can follow you in the show notes. This definitely got my creative juices flowing and appreciate you coming on and sharing some sauce.
Yeah, no worries. Hope to be back in the future with more amazing tips. Just great listening to you for the last couple of years and honored that you finally had me on the show. Thanks, Greg.
Of course. Thanks, BJ.